Hey everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jummah today. And we're here to recreate in podcast form what happened last year at my local mosque sister's circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to share with me what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me, and let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. This week's episode is about NHS pensions. Now the question touches on NHS pensions specifically and asks how much is ideal roughly to contribute towards it. Now pensions are a way, if we take a step back, they're a way for people to take care of their own livelihood in old age, and they account for saving towards it during their working life. Now no matter what type of pension you have, it's important to understand exactly how much will I end up getting in retirement. And it sounds like a simple question, but to me it's really important to identify exactly what the question is that we're trying to answer. And when it comes to pension, at any moment whilst you're saving for them throughout your working life, it's important to understand, what does what I'm doing today mean for how much I'm going to get in retirement? Now that has to do with how it is that your pension is structured. NHS pensions in particular are what's called public sector pensions. Before we can discuss anybody's numbers specifically or your own financial goals, it is therefore important to understand exactly how it is that they're structured and how is it that they work. Before getting into that, it's also important, later on I'll discuss exactly how important pensions are in the grand scheme of things when it comes to people's finances. In recent years, the Financial Conduct Authority, the financial regulator, has taken a really strong stance on ensuring that people are protected from pension scams. And if anybody is quite rightly trying to make a decision about how is it that they would like to plan for retirement, that any decision that they make is one that's as informed as possible, that they have all the necessary information to be able to make a decision that effectively has to do with many decades into the future. So this episode is for information purposes only, effectively for us to get to the point where we understand how our NHS pension is structured, what information, what are the best practices for me to do throughout my working life so that I can make the decisions regarding how to save up for retirement in the right way. And so this episode will be structured in three parts. The first is to understand the question, how much is someone going to get in retirement? The second is, how does this relate to my payslip? So you'll probably know that you're contributing towards your pension automatically if you've been auto-enrolled by your employer. And so how is it that that payslip is connected to my pension? And third, what are the best practices and pension mistakes to avoid? So what is it we're supposed to remember and be mindful of when it comes to dealing with our pension? So without further ado, I'll get started. Now, to answer the question, how much will I get in retirement? It is important to understand how is it that the NHS pension is structured. So there are two major types of pensions. The first is called a defined benefit pension. So that's DB for short. Most public sector pensions fall into this bucket, as well as some very large employers. This is typically what originally we think about pensions. And the second is a defined contribution pension. And this is most private sector employees have this, and we will discuss the differences. So the first one, a defined benefit pension, which is the NHS pension, is when you get a set salary every year in retirement. That's why it's called defined benefit, because the pension benefit, the amount that you get, is defined, meaning we know how much you'll be getting in retirement. It will be a set salary, and you'll get this throughout your life in retirement. The second type is called a defined contribution pension, and that's what most private sector employees have. And if anybody also has their own pension pot, it's intuitively saving up throughout your working life, and the money that you save up is what you'll have to use in retirement. And the amount that you have in your pension pot is directly linked to how much you put in and how well the market does. And you can see how, even though as an NHS employee, you pay towards a pension from your payslip, but that contribution is not like the defined contribution schemes where that money directly is what you will end up using in retirement. So how is it that they calculate the defined benefit, so how much you will be getting in retirement? So we know that the defined benefit scheme, which is the NHS pension scheme, gives people guaranteed income in retirement. So how is it that they make this promise, and what numbers is this promise based on? So still talking in general about defined benefit schemes, there are three things that the calculation takes into account. So firstly, it's how many years have you been with this employer? How many years have you been part of this pension scheme? So this is called your years of service. Simple enough. The second is your salary, and in brackets, I will put pensionable salary. It's always calculated on the pensionable salary. It's not as straightforward, it's just the gross salary. So it's useful to do the caveat there. But effectively, it's just the amount relating to your salary that they use to calculate your pension. And third is what's called an accrual rate. So accrual rate, another way of thinking about it, is just the build-up rate. So what does that mean? With a defined benefit pension scheme, all of these three numbers are multiplied together to calculate the salary that someone gets. So someone may have worked at a place for 20 years. They might have had a salary, and then they multiply those two together, as well as what's called an accrual rate. So that is different depending on the different pension schemes. So an accrual rate in one workplace might be 1 divided by 60. So 1/60th would be the accrual rate. And so with a defined benefit scheme, what do you end up getting? If you multiply those three numbers together, let's say 20 multiplied by a pensionable salary of, let's say, 40,000 multiplied by your accrual rate, that's what someone would be getting in retirement. But what is specific about the NHS pension scheme? Now, the way that a defined benefit pension has changed in its structure over the years has somewhat developed, but it's still these three numbers that people can tweak, right? So we have the years of service. That's just simply how many years that someone has been part of the scheme. Then we also have the pensionable salary. So you might be saying, so fine, now you're talking about the NHS pension. So the example I'm going to be using is the 2015 scheme. So the defined benefit pension that the NHS has given has changed. There is at the moment the 1995 scheme. Then there's another one in 2008, and the current one is the 2015. And the information I'm giving, going through now, is all from a PDF called the 2015 Pension Scheme Guide to Members. So if you are working in NHS and you've joined that scheme, so since 2015, this is what your pension rules are. I mentioned that there are effectively three numbers that any person designing a pension scheme can amend. So there is the years of service, how long someone has been part of the scheme, then there is the pensionable salary. Now, the way that the 2015 scheme works, and how most defined benefit schemes are around for other public sector workers works, is what's called a career average scheme. They used to take a final salary scheme, means that they take the salary that you had the last year before you retire, which maybe is probably the highest, hopefully. And based on that, they multiply by the accrual rate of the pension scheme and the number of years you've been working, and that ends up being your final salary. If someone worked at a place for 20 years, they had the final year of their working life, they had a £50,000 salary, just for simple numbers, and the accrual rate of that pension scheme was 1 over 60. You multiply all of those together, you end up getting 16,666, and that would be the salary that that person would have gotten every year of the guaranteed income in retirement every year for them. What are the details of the one of the NHS? So there's still the membership rate, so the years of service that you have. Then you've got the pensionable salary, and it's based on what's called a career average scheme, meaning that instead of taking your final salary, they consider your average salary throughout your working life, which, as you can tell, is a way to reduce the pressure on the pension, because it will obviously be lower if it's the average of your entire career. And then the accrual rate of the 2015 scheme is 1 over 54. So how is it that that calculation gets done? Effectively, that calculation is done every year that you work, and then you add all of those together to get to the pension that you would be getting into retirement. But I think the best way is to go through an example so that we cover all of the details. But in your mind, instead of thinking that it's just one calculation based on a final salary, it's multiple calculations that get done every year based off of what salary you had that particular year, and they get added up to get to how much you will be getting in retirement will be. Now, I have an example here that comes directly off of that PDF that I mentioned. It's entitled 2015 NHS Pension Scheme Guide for Members. So here I have an example. Someone called Ren, she earns $18,000 a year in year one. If we think, how much will Emren's pension be worth based off of how much she earned that first year where her salary was £18,000? 18,000 times 1, which is the year of contribution, it was just 1 year, times 1 divided by 54, so 1/54th, which is the accrual rate, that figure ends up being £333. So what happens after she has banked this £333? The pension, it gets revalued. So what that means is that it's multiplied by a certain figure. Now, you will see it on the PDF and online. Currently, it's revalued at the rate of a treasury order plus 1.5%. Now, what is a treasury order? The treasury is a government department that takes care of fiscal policy and taxes and everything. So they will use a rate plus 1.5%. So it could be the CPI rate, so that's the inflation rate, plus 1.5%. And so Emren's pot for year one will continue growing every year until she retires, and that's just pot number one. Every year of service, another pot is created to make the calculation again. So in year two, she'll get maybe a salary increase. That salary is then multiplied by one, an additional year of service, multiplied by 1 over 54. Now, that pot itself also will get revalued and so on in its own pot until the end of her career. Now, if we add up all of the individual pots by the end of her career, that's how we get to her pension. Now, you might be thinking, so what kind of numbers are we talking? So in this example, the scenario is that if someone gets a 4% pay rise each year and they make a calculation on all the pots based off of that, by the time that that person reaches state pension, all those pots added together will give a salary in retirement of $13,422. And that's a guaranteed defined benefit pension where that person can expect to receive that amount of money every year in retirement. The way I see it, if we keep this, all of this in mind, then we can start to play around with the different subtleties around this. So your question might be, so what happens if something happens to Emran? Another question might be, what might someone do if they wanted to retire early? What are their options then? How much will the pension calculation be impacted by that? All of these are very valid considerations that you can then put on top of that. But the basic point to understand is that because the NHS scheme is a career average scheme, it means that the calculation is made based off of your average earnings throughout your career. On top of that, what is the build-up rate? What is the accrual rate that they use to make the calculation of how much the income in retirement will be every year? It is based, the fraction for the 2015 NHS scheme is 1 over 54. They use your years of service to calculate it. That stays the same. But then the very natural next question is, but what has that got to do with the money that I see is being taken out of my payslip every month? So the second part of this episode, I want to focus on understanding the contributions that you're making towards the pension. Now, this is different to those other pensions I mentioned, which are defined contribution pensions, where the money that they put in, their employer might put money in as well. Together, that's going to be what your pot is worth. You also invest that money and that money grows. And that money may or may not be worth a certain amount in retirement. The agreement with the NHS pension as a defined benefit is that the income in retirement is guaranteed for every year of life you have after retirement. Now, with a defined contribution scheme, which is the private sector pension, the risk of how much your pension will be worth is entirely with the individual themselves. But the contribution that goes into it, how much money gets put in, is the employee puts a percentage of their salary, the employer puts a percentage, and together they are contributing to a pot that is in the name of the employee, and the size of that pot will determine how much money that person will have in retirement. But still, if you think about the defined benefit scheme, i.e. the NHS pension, the pension scheme itself is a cost. And whilst the investment risk, meaning guaranteeing that pension by the time we reach retirement, in the case of the NHS, lies with the employer, i.e. the NHS itself, contributing to the cost of that scheme is something that both the NHS and the employee does. So when we think about what we see in our payslip that we have, if you're an NHS employee, you will be contributing to the pension, but you're contributing to the cost of running the scheme. The money itself that gets taken out of your payslip is not contributing to the actual amount that you end up getting. The actual amount that you end up getting is based off of the calculation that we discussed before as a defined benefit contribution. It's based off of the build-up rate of the pension scheme, how many years of service you had, and what have been your average career earnings over that period. The cost of running the scheme, meaning ensuring that there is money in there, is something that the employee does and the employer does as well. But guaranteeing that the people who will retire will have that money at the end by the time they retire is a risk that the employer has. And the employer guarantees that income for every year of life in retirement. And here, to give everybody the full story, there are defined benefit schemes can be funded and they can be unfunded. So what does that mean? That means, is there actually a physical pot of money there that people can point to and say that is the pension? And in the case of the NHS pension, is an unfunded scheme, meaning there isn't a physical pot of money that people point to saying that's the pension, but it is backed by the Exchequer, it's backed by the government. So yeah, the question isn't really where is the money coming from when the employer in this case is the government, but the cost of running the scheme itself is something that the employer contributes to and the employees contribute to as well. And so that is what the money that you see that comes out of your payslip is separate to the calculation that is made to find out what your benefit in retirement, your guaranteed salary in retirement, is going to be. So what you will see in your payslip is you'll see your contribution, which is the contribution that we have for running the scheme. Similarly, throughout our lives, we pay national insurance contributions and they go towards our state pension. National insurance contributions that I make are used to pay for people's state pension and benefits that are currently retired. You can almost make that same analogy with the NHS pension, where your contribution may be going towards people who are currently retired within the NHS. And in both cases, they're backed by the government. Now, as a scheme member, the amount that you pay towards your contribution is related to your salary. So the actual percentage does get higher as you earn more. And the contributions don't only come from you, they come also from the NHS itself. And the amounts that we're talking as of April 2024, at the bottom end, someone with a salary of $13,259 is contributing 5.2% of their pensionable salary towards the cost of running this defined benefit scheme. And those with a salary over $62,925, they are contributing 12.5% of their salary. Whereas the employer, the NHS, they're contributing 23.7% towards the running of the scheme. And so I feel like the calculation of the actual benefit that someone gets in retirement, the contribution that someone is making from their payslip, are two separate calculations. Whereas if someone had a private pension, the money that they put in is the money that they'll be using at the time when they're retired. So in practical terms, moving on to discussing the best practices when it comes to thinking about your pension and making yourself informed, that's effectively the punchline. When I thought about my own private pension with my employer, the way that I approached it is just to figure out what are the rules here. Based on these rules, how much is it that I can expect to receive in retirement? Every year you can see exactly how much your pension is worth at that very moment. And these calculations and this information is available to all employees. So we'll talk about that. So in the case, still sticking with the NHS, there is something called the Total Rewards Statement, TRS for short, and it is made available every year through the electronic staff record. So if you work for the NHS and you use the electronic staff record, that's where you'll be able to also have access to your total reward statement. And that total reward statement effectively talks you through your pension record of your contribution throughout your career. And so what is it that you're supposed to do? If you look at that, the total reward statement, what you're checking for is if it looks right. What does that mean? Does it have you working in the places that you were working at that time? Are the years correct? It's a level of due diligence that you might feel like, oh, but surely it is correct. But it is our responsibilities to check that it's saying what it's supposed to say. Why? Because in reality, we're the ones that are best placed to check it. Because if there was anything that looked off, we would be the ones to spot it easily. But, you know, this isn't something that people need to do on their own. One good thing that you can do once you've gotten yourself onto the total reward statement, you've kind of understood what is it that we're talking about, you can call the scheme and simply have them run it through with you. What is also included in the total reward statement is things like the summary of your employment package, your basic pay, your allowances, and most importantly, your pension benefits. And why is this great? Is because based on all of this documentation, you can then get whatever specialist advice you need. You can also end up starting to make decisions for yourself in terms of what you'll be doing with your finances more generally, and know that by contributing to the scheme, it is guaranteeing a certain level of benefits in retirement. Everybody's going to be different in terms of their financial goals and where it is that they are in their lives. The reality is that pensions are a particular type of benefit. They're called safeguarded benefits. So to end this episode, I just wanted to talk about exactly why is it that so much attention is put into making sure that pensions are properly regulated and people are getting the correct advice when it comes to saving for retirement, because we're talking about a situation where people may be very vulnerable, and we're talking about a situation where you're trying to make a decision that is very far into the future and it includes many numbers. Now, the FCA and the pension regulator, they've published guidance on raising awareness relating to pension scams. And now, when people are considering what to do with their pension, firstly, there is, if you speak to a professional, they'll end up becoming a pension transfer specialist, meaning it's not just any independent financial advisor. There's additional training that people need to do to be able to advise people on what to do with their pensions. Also, when you do get that advice, they'll be required to provide you with very important illustrations about exactly what the benefits are worth, making any scenario analysis based off of really clear pros and cons, so people understand exactly what it is that they're doing. But yeah, that was just a public service announcement, almost just to emphasize exactly why it's important to be fully informed when it comes to your pension. But your total rewards statement is probably the best place to start, because that will include a lot of information that's very useful. And by engaging with it, I feel like that's where all the other questions can be asked, and that you'll be able to reflect on your own goals. So for example, if you're someone who thinks, well, I'd want to also save more, I want to add more to my pension, you'll be able to reflect on your own goals. And that includes things like saying, okay, within the next decades, I would want to raise a family, or I would want to buy a house, or I would want to have money left over that I give to my grandchildren. And do I want to have that through the pension, or do I want that to come through savings? So you'll be saving for different goals across different decades of your life. But thinking about your pension is an important point. In this episode, we haven't talked about halal investing because it's not so relevant to defined benefit pensions, because you're contributing to a scheme that has certain rules that guarantees a certain pension for you into the future. It is not that you have a pot of money that's linked to you specifically that is then invested in your name, and then people say this is the worth of your pension when you retire. It's not like that. But as individuals, we can save in tax-efficient ways by making the most of our ISA, or focusing on building a down payment if you're buying a house, especially if you're buying one outside of London. You can make use of things like a lifetime ISA. And all of these questions, whether you have an NHS pension or you have a defined contribution pension, these are important things to reflect on. And I feel like, for me personally, the questions are more about, will the amount that I have saved be enough? And if not, how should I save up for that? How should I think about it? And that's where the wanting to invest on top of your pension might come into it, or wanting to save up for other goals might come into it as well. But yes, by engaging with your total reward statement, you'll be able to be fully informed, and then on top of that, you'll be able to make even more informed decisions about your other financial goals. I hope you found this episode helpful. This has been the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next June. Bye for now.